I'm in a living word right now.
I'll tell you, we truly live by his word. I mean, all you need is a word from him and he can catapult you out. But today is a whole nother definition. But I think this is going to true help us in a huge way. It's already just profoundly helped me in the last 2 days. And I think for the rest of our life, if you'll really open your ears to hear what I'm about to say today, I think it's going to help you move in these realms in a brand new way. Turn the book of Revelation chapter 1. Father, I thank you for the expansiveness of your word today. I thank you for expanding every one of us in this house and launching us into a brand new place of understanding of how to walk with you in these realms. And we give you all the glory, praise, and honor. You're with us this day in Jesus' name. So we've been speaking of this realm of God, the glory realm of him who was, is, and is to come. Now, where you get that is from the book of Revelation, and it specifically describes the Father. I think the Lord was getting a little lonely with us giving all this attention to the Father, because he says, hey, what about me? And he just blasted me. So, verse 4, it said, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, says, grace be unto you and peace. Now watch, these are the greetings, but it says, from him who was, and which was, which is, and which is to come. That's the Father. And from the seven spirits of God that are before his throne. That's actually the Holy Spirit. They don't call the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. You won't find it. You find him as the seven spirits of God. Because he has a new role in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And from Jesus Christ. See, the whole Trinity there is greetings. Who is the faithful witness? Now, when he begins this book, so the Lord said, hey, what about me? He said that to me. I know who you are. He goes, I am he who was and is to come. But I want you to understand what I just said to you. When he said that to me, I'm like, whoa. And he says, go read my words again. And so I started reading and it exploded on the inside of me. Look at it to begin. The whole book of Revelation, what is this book? It's in verse 1, a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of him as the Omega, as him as the end, as him as the last. It's the revelation of the end time. Amen? John, verse 2, says, who bore record? I'm going to read this out of the NIV because it'll see it better. He says, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. This book is a testimony of the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, look in John, the Gospel of John, verse 1. He says, in the beginning, in what beginning? The beginning. The, whatever that is, that's actually, there was a pre-Adamic race, you know, there's a pre-Adamic world. So the beginning was way back in the beginning. But it doesn't matter whether it's the beginning of creation or in your beginning. He's the beginning. Now what is he the beginning? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word what? Was God. Now, he is the word of the beginning, he is the word of now, and he is the word of your future, or the end, or the omega. In fact, he says it quite often. Now, go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, but I need you to step out of this thing you understand of just him being the word. It's not just this written word, which he is. He's a living word. Now let's go back. So now he says, verse 3, blessed is he that reads this prophecy, this end time revelation of Christ, the Word. The end time revelation of Christ, the final word to humanity. There are things that are going to transpire after the book of Revelation. God has it in his heart. Eye has not seen nor hear has heard all the things he wants. But he gave us an end as far as he wants us to know. He gave us an end of how the end would come and the final days of humanity would come in the final 1,000 years. He gave us the end. Now, there are things going to happen after that, but he didn't put all that in there. He just gave us the end of what he wants us to know. I mean, you know, there's a new heaven, a new earth. We're going to be with him for eternity. There's a whole other word coming for eternity. After all, this one's done. But this is the one he wants to seal it with. Amen. Now he's going to step in. The Lord said, you know who I am. I am also him that was and him that, and he said it like that, like a lion. He goes, I am him that was. I am him which is, and I am him which is to come. And he goes, you only know me in part. I said, yes, Lord. He goes, but you're going to know me in fullness. Because I'm going to teach you how to walk in me now. Who was, who is, and who is to come. This is going to help you hugely today. Trust me on this. So the first thing he says in verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. Which is beginning, Omega, the end. He goes, I am all this as the Word. He goes, I am the beginning. I'm your beginning. I am your end. I am your now and I am your future. I have a word to describe every part of your life, whether it's the beginning, whether it's the now or whether it's the future. I have a word for you to live in, to dwell in and to abide in. When you say abide in me and my words abide in you, a lot of us just think about, okay, I'm going to go in and just abide in his presence. Because that's just our revelation. When you talk to people, what does it mean to abide in the Lord? Well, I'm going to abide into his presence. But you're talking about the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Word. So when he says abide in me where I am, what does that mean? Yes, you can abide in him where he is in presence, but what about abiding him where he is for your future? Does he have a word of your future? All these places we've been speaking about, Penuel, Jericho, Mount Ebron, those are not places. Those are the word of God for our destination. It's a destination of Jesus Christ that we enter into. Not just a place. He goes, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, which is. Now the Lord says, now look at this. Now he is, which is, and which was, and which is to come. He goes, I am the gate to all of it. Before you enter the Father, you have to come through me. I'm the only one that can get you into the, all the things you see. And I'm going to get you there by a word. I'm going to get you there by a word of either now or a word of your future. And all of a sudden, as he began to say that, it just started exploding on the inside of me. This whole thing started exploding to me. He goes, I am the lamp to your feet. I am the light to your path. For those who abide in me where I am not going to lead you to a place where you're going to be stuck all your life. I'm leading you into new lands, which I am that land. I am that word. He goes, I was your beginning in Zechariah 4. I am your end in Zechariah 4. He goes, the whole thing, that whole chapter was a beginning and an end. And it was, in fact, a chapter beyond our days. Let me explain it like this. I want you to go over to John 11. Then we're going to go back to Penuel a minute and see what he has to say as the word. John 11. Sometime you're one revelation away from your breakthrough. Sometime it's the perspective that shifts, the change of seeing it the way he sees it, of having a veil torn off your heart. I see you wait. Not only is this a living word, you are he who was and is to come that introduces me to he who was, who is, and is to come. That gives me access into realms that I would not have been able to access before. And so he's in the middle of this discourse there around the raising of the dead of Lazarus. And I believe for a moment a mystery flashed through me this morning. I'm going to go meditate this one because I think he just released the mystery on how to raise the dead. it's not just the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Holy Ghost is on a lot of people. Listen, you have to understand how he does that. He tells us to do it. He expects us to do it, but we got to be trained to do that. I mean, raising the dead was easy. Everybody would be doing it out there. I mean, literally raising from the dead. He did it, but there was a mystery of how he did it. And it's right here, actually. Speaking of 21. And Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, he's standing in front of her, by the way, my brother had not died. So now she's offering religious lip service. She said, I know my brother, even now, whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it to you. And Jesus said unto her, that brother will rise again. Now watch what she said. Verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She had a revelation that there would be a resurrection. That would be a time and a season and an event. See, we look at time, season, and events as time, season, and events. But God doesn't look like that. He doesn't say, no. That resurrection that you're talking about is not a time. It's not a season. It's not an event. He's standing in front of you because I am that resurrection. I am that word that you just spoke. I am that living resurrection. I am that time. I am that season. And I am that event. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you have to stop seeing things as times, season, places, and events. You need to see it as I am Penuel. I am Jericho. I am Mount Hebron. I am the resurrection. As soon as he said it, he grabbed that future event, which she perceived as future waiting on. What are you waiting on? And he grabbed it because he could stand. He was the Word. Watch this. He was the Word who was. He is the Word who is. He is the Word who is to come. So all he did is she quoted a word that was to come. I know in the resurrection in the last day, which was a word that he gave. That's the only way she'd have known it. She quoted his word. He said, oh, yeah. You're quoting a word, me, in another dimension. But he had the capacity to walk over that dimension, grab that future event, and pull it right back into where he is now. I am that day. He said, I am that day you're speaking of, and that day is upon you right now. I am the resurrection. I am the time. I am the season. I am the event. I am your breakthrough. See, Chuck, last couple of weeks, got a revelation of the breaker, that I am the breakthrough. And he pulled the breaker out of an event that was going to happen. And he pulled the breaker into today. And he says, no, now. Because he got a what? Revelation. See, if you don't get a revelation, then it's always in front of you. Whether that word is in front of you, but the revelation will bring that word that is to come into your now. And that word will produce. Go to John 4, look at verse 32. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you do not know of. This is meat right here. Do you know you can eat of your promised land before you get to your promised land? You can eat of your breakthrough before this earthly world. This earth is a little slow sometimes, but your spirit man does not have to wait on the earth to catch up. Your spirit man can go on and eat. Your spirit man can spread a table. Your spirit man can eat of the new day, the new life. Even if the earth is waiting, the spirit man don't have to wait. I have meat to eat that you know not of where you're at. Because I'm eating of another day right now. I'm eating of a day in my Father. I am seeing harvest fields. Well, you can't see them because you're looking at the now, but I'm looking in another realm. So he opens their eyes to where he was standing. In the next verses, they think he's standing where they are. He goes, no, I'm not where you are right now. I am where my Father is. He goes, because he's the word, he could move in the realm who was, which is, and is to come. He was standing in another realm. And watch what he says as the word. See, the word is going to give you the access. And when God opens your eyes, you're able to go stand in a realm that you hadn't arrived to, but your spirit can go grab it. And when your spirit grabs it, and when your spirit holds it, and when your spirit keeps it, it'll drag this entire realm to where you are in him. It'll drag you into your future. It is the catalyst to bring you in. When the devil's trying to hold you back, all I got to do is hold and keep that word and it'll drag me right in. That's why he gives you the word that is to come, not for you to put it on a shelf. He gives you the word to come to hold it, keep it, put your life on it, drive a stake in and don't let go. The devil, he will come. He will try to resist it with everything he's got. But if you won't let go, your whole circumstance will be drug in. The earth will be drawn in to the demonstration of the invisible to the visible. There is an invisible word. Check this out. And there is a visible word. There's an invisible kingdom and there is a visible kingdom. He stands in the invisible. He stands as the visible. He stands as Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel is? You know, it's on his birth. When the child came from Mary's womb, they called him Emmanuel. God is with us. That was the visible word. That was the word made flesh, but it was still the word. To God, it made no difference whether it was invisible or visible. It makes a lot of difference to us. It makes no difference to God. It's the same word. Whether it's invisible or visible, it was just a timeline man was on. But God wants to remove us from the timelines of man and get us moving in dimensions that are already done, already completed. Because God was standing there the whole time. He'd already visited. Abraham saw my birth. Before he ever came, men were already dwelling in his birth, seeing it, beholding it. God was prophesying it. Because God, the whole time he was prophesying, he was standing at the end. Emmanuel. Here he is. That word. We beheld the life. The life was manifested. Full of grace and truth. But see, they could see it. They could touch it. They could feel it. It was in the visible realm. But God said whether it's invisible or visible, it made no difference to him. It was still the word. It was just the word which was, which is, and now is to come. And he goes, if you want to know your inheritance, if you really want to abide in me, if you get a revelation of me, I can take you out of the now and into where you are in me. I can translate you into a new garden that you can see and you can live in a new place with me. Because that's the power of my words. This dwelling in the living Emmanuel. He goes, all you need, the difference between Emmanuel and the invisible word of promise is a revelation. When I got a revelation of Emmanuel, I can go dwell in Emmanuel. I can dwell. Now watch this. Because we got one. We're doing it right now. The Lord said, walk them through. He goes, show them. He goes, as I'm showing you. He goes, because you're walking all together into a new land. And he goes, you're walking in a living word. Because I want you to tell them that I am Penuel. So I'm telling you, God is Penuel. John 4, ready? He says, I have meat to eat. Boy, he's not kidding. See, when you move into the word, he can translate you out of where you are. That's the living word. See, what does God want to talk about? The Lord wanted to talk about heavenly things. He goes, man, you're choking, Nicodemus, and you're a master in Israel. He goes, I'm telling you earthly things, and you can't even handle it. What if I start talking about heavenly things? See, we all say, I like this guy, John Paul Abraham. He's like, we all say we want God till we start talking about heavenly things. And everybody starts checking out, wants to bring God back into the earthly environment. They want to define God by what's safe. We don't get to define God by what's safe or what's normal. God is not normal. God doesn't live in the realm of normal. He lives in the realm of extraordinary. He lives in the realm of astonishment. He lives in the realm of creative life. He lives in the realm of creative revelation. He lives in light that you can't even catch up with. He doesn't live in our normal. We always want to bring him back in the normal. Let's just be normal, church. How boring is that? We got to transcend all walls. Now, we got to do it the Word. We're not going to get goofy or crazy about it. We got to do it His way. But if we do His way, we can be very abnormal. I think He called it peculiar. Stretching a ladder from heaven to earth, living in both places, the people that can walk up and down in my name and to and fro. He did it with air. He pulled the resurrection in with Lazarus. He goes, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pull that day of resurrection into now because I am that day. I'm going to walk on over there and grab that day and I'm going to pull it in now. I'm going to show you that I'm the resurrection. He just didn't tell her He was the resurrection. He goes, yeah, I am that day. You are right. But I am that day. That's me. So I'm going to walk into my own day, grab it. I'm going to bring it into your day. He went into the future, pulled it into the now, and then He manifested and raised Lazarus from the dead to manifest that He is the resurrection. Do you know we are the generation of resurrection? Do you know we're the generation? You know, the rapture is not something that's come out of heaven. It's going to rapture us. He says the rapture is the glory of God that's going to be revealed from us. It's the glory that's going to break out into a glorified body. We are the generation to receive the glorification. We're going to walk in the heights, the depths of God, and we got to break every limitation. And the only way to do this is step out. Sometime you're going to have to graduate from kindergarten Word into advance. Say advance. Join airship Word. There's a time for kindergarten. There's a time for sixth grade. There's a time for 12th grade. But then Paul, standing as an apostle, looking at the final generation. Let's go to perfection. There is a generation that's going to stand in the perfection of God. They're going to bring forth the fullness of the glory of God in the earth. A generation that's going to rule and reign. He saw it. Let us go. Let us go. We got to leave the fundamentals now. It's been great. But we got to go. I don't want to just see it and hear it. I want the encounter, but then I want to go grab it and make the day mine. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make the day ours. I'm going to hold that day until heaven pulls me all the way through. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. I'm living in His will now. I'm living beyond where you are right now is what He said. Then He opens their eyes. He goes, okay, I'll give you one. Here's the Lord. Watch this, verse 35. Say not you, do you not say that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest? When you live in your time frame, you say there's 4 months and then cometh harvest. Now, this is God right here telling you to get your eye off of where you are and put it in a future position. Watch what He says here. God's telling them to do this. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Get your eyes out of where you are. Get your eyes off the sowing. And look on the fields that are white already to harvest. He was looking at another dimension they couldn't even see. They didn't even know what He's talking about. He goes, listen, I got to get your eyes over to the Father. With me and the Father, we see things differently right now. You're in the field and you say you got to work 4 months and wait 4 months and plow 4 months. But I say just lift your eyes and look. The harvest field's already ready. Let me pull you on over to the harvest. I am the end. I am the beginning. Listen, I'm the Lord of harvest. Luke 10, I am the Lord of harvest. If He's the Lord of harvest, He's the Lord of sowing. He's the Lord of reaping. He's the beginning. He's the end. He can stand in the whole season. Guess what? God can get you to stand in the end with Him. Because all you need to enter into a graduation realm is a word that is beyond where you are. Beyond. Now watch where He was. Just so you know, He wasn't standing where they were. Watch what He says. Verse 38. He says, herein the saying is true, one soweth, one reapeth. I sent, but He's speaking as the Word. And because He's not bound by time, all He did was just walk over into the Father a little ways and said, look, I sent you into fields. I sent you. He did this in the upper room. He says, I am not of the world, they're of the world. And then He shifted and He goes, now they're not of the world. He pulled them into where he was. And then he went beyond. So he goes, I sent you. See, he hadn't sent them, but he had, because he was the word. Was he says, I sent you to reap where you bestowed no labor. Now, he hadn't actually sent them yet, because he sends them when he's in the upper room. He said, I'm not of the world, they're of the world. Then he says, they're not of the world, because he pulled them into where he was. And then the next one, he goes, Father, I sent, as you sent me, I sent. He didn't say, I'm going to sin, I sent. You know what he was doing? He was moving in his own self. He was shifting, and as he moved and he spoke from his position, he would pull them into where he was. So he commissioned them before he ever sent them. He commissioned and sent them before he left. He had to do that because he wasn't going to be there. He had to release it while he was in the earth, while he had the authority to pray to the Father as a man. He moved himself in front. And Father, I sent them. You see that? I sent them where they bestowed no labor. He told them, I sent you. He didn't send them anywhere, but he did. Because where was he standing? He wasn't standing in the now word. He was standing in there. But he was the word. He had the authority to do it because he's the word to do it. You see how he also moves in the dimensions? And as he moves, you move. And as you move, he moves you into the Father through his own self. He's the word that calibrates you to your future, to your beginning, or to your end. It's Sunday morning. Why not? Let's just go talk about Noah for a second. I didn't get this revelation, but there was a man, I can't even know who he was, but Sharon sent it to me. He got called up in heaven, and he was introduced to different men of God. And he met Noah, you know, Noah and the ark, the animals, murals, you know, coming two by two in the Noah's ark, you know, that whole thing. But see, Noah said he walked with God. You should read what God said about him. He knew God, and he walked with God. He was like Enoch. Noah walked in the glory realm. With God. He knew God and he walked with him. And Noah started talking to this guy. And he says, you want to know how I got the animals in the ark? When the fall came, the animals was not nice to man anymore. Lion eat man after fall. You are food for me. Lion look at man and say, yeah. Animals were pets. Lying down. See, in the end, in the 1,000-year millennial reign, the Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb again. The lamb will not be afraid that you will eat me today, or will you not eat me today? But since after the fall, lion eat man, lion eat lamb. How did Noah go grab the rhinoceros? Say, hey, come over here. Psst, come here. The elephant. What, he's going to go throw a lasso on him? I mean, how did he get him to do that? He said, you know how I did it? Now, this is an awesome example of how the glory that is in the beginning pertains to where we are. He said, I had to go back out of my time. And because I walked with God's glory, he had me have to go back in the day of Adam. I had to walk back in the beginning where the animals were subject to Adam and they were tame. And I had to walk back into the glory of the Father in the beginning, when the animal kingdom was subject to man, where they could respond to the command of man. And I walked back in that garden. I had the anointing, and I brought that anointing back into where I was. And all I had to do was speak to them, and they followed me, just like they did Adam. What is the glory realm that God's given us? What does he want this generation to do? What is he offering us? He goes, listen, I want to teach you some heavenly things here.
I have to add this while he's in the middle of this, speaking about Noah and the dominion that Noah had. Another thing that was done to all of these animals during those 40 days and nights of the rain was that they were put to sleep. So they didn't have to clean up after them. They didn't have to feed them. During that time, they were brought into a deep sleep. Think on that. Selah.
All that was Adam's dominion. That was lost after the fall. Christ had not come yet. So he went back into Adam's dominion. And the glory, and read about it, he said he walked with God. Just like Enoch did. Any man or woman that starts walking with God, and that's what we're learning to do. There has to be a generation, Psalms 24, that's going to close out the world. He's not coming back for a church that looks like the church that is now. He's coming back for a bride that knows who she is, that's going to do exploits, kingdom exploits, a bride that can walk up and down and to and fro time, to and fro geographical boundaries, a bride that'll have all, just like the Lord did. The Lord can move men through time. He could walk through doors. See, we don't want to know Jesus that way. We want the nice Jesus. What would Jesus do? He'd walk through that door. What would Jesus do? We always want to reduce him to our revelation. When he spoke to me, he said, I am the Lord of harvest. I can stand both in the beginning and the end. What part of the harvest you want to stand in with me? You want to stand in the end? How about a financial harvest that God promised you? What about a field that God would call you to go stand in the earth? Well, in Joseph's time, you actually had to wait for the corn to grow. You had to wait for the famine. We don't have to wait anymore. We live in time, technological age of time. What about going and living in a harvest, a future harvest that hadn't happened yet, and seeing the end from the beginning, going outside of time? Oh, that's what that's going to have. What if you could have seen the oil rise? You wouldn't be so crazy about the gas prices now, because you would have bought all the futures up. And while everybody's having to pay $4 a gallon, you're just pulling it out of your account because you bought options on it. So this guy had a word, knowledge, and he took $1,200. See, in our time and age, you don't need that $1,200. He went and bought options, I think $30 options. And the option was that I'm actually thinking that cotton's going to go through the roof. I think it's going to rise, and I'm going to buy an option based on that, and I'll buy now, and I'll sell the option later for the full price. He made $40,000 on one trade, a $1,200 trade. He made, showed me the chart. I used to have it in my constitution. Now he tried to repeat that again. He lost 40, but it doesn't matter. He still was able to do it. Sometimes we hit it and we miss it, but we're coming in the age where we're going to dwell in such light. We'll see it all the time. This will pertain to markets. This pertains to dominion. It pertains to a generation that's going to exercise omnipresent omniscience and dominion in the earth. Amen? Okay, go now to our favorite chapter, Genesis 32. He's training us to walk in. I mean, don't go turning aside when the path is not done. Wait until God's finished with what he's doing. He wouldn't give us all these mysteries and then, oh, by the way, you're not going to get any of that present. I just wanted you to wrap it all your life. He goes, there's a big mystery there. I'm going to open the box. I'm going to open the glory. Well, he's not done with our story. He's about to release the Father's story in the earth. He's about to show us how to do this. It's not just going to happen. If it happens and you don't know how to do it, then you can't repeat it. But he can teach us how to do this. We're going to learn. He already said he would. He goes, because my glory I give to you. I'm going to show you how to walk in this Father that I know. He's far greater than anything you think. Now, let me say this before I get into this word. I'm going to close with this word. We all relate to God, to Lord, to our King in the arena we have revelation of. We have a revelation of his presence, that I'm going to abide in your presence. Well, for people who are hungry, you want more and more and more. And he is the God of more. What about, now we've been relating to the God of the invisible for a long time. The invisible mountain, but it's made visible to us. We can dwell in the throne of grace. We can dwell in the garden of the lilies. We can dwell in the Father. We can dwell at the throne. We can dwell in these dimensions of God. They're invisible to man, but quite visible to us because we can see through the eye of the heart, right? But the God says, hey, I'm not just the God of the invisible. I'm also Emmanuel. I'm the God of the visible. You just haven't been focused enough on the visible part of me. He goes, well, now I'm starting to focus you on the visible kingdom, the Lord of the breakthrough. See, Pastor Chuck was speaking of the Lord of the harvest, Emmanuel, the Lord of demonstration. See, it's still the word. Abide in me, and my word abides in you. Then you can have what you will. Why don't we say it like this? Abide in me is Penuel, and Penuel will abide in you. And then you can ask what you will concerning Penuel, and Penuel will happen to you. That's exactly what he said to me. He said, abide in me. Well, I'm about to describe Penuel one more time. Abide in me, because he spoke to me. First said, I am Penuel. Where did you get Penuel from? I'm like, your word. He says, I am. Penuel means face to face. It's where Jacob was transformed to Israel. It's where God transformed and changed him. It's where he wrestled with God. It's where he changed and something changed in him and made him who he was in God. It was the place of promise. It was the place of demonstration. It was the place of the arrival. It was the place where God came down and revealed himself face to face with him. There's a lot of things that went on in Penuel. Lord said, teach them how to keep my words. I said, I do that. He says, no, do it again. You can do it this way now. He says, I am Penuel. He goes, that is a word that I led Jacob to. I led him to a place. Don't see it as a place. See it as me. See it, if you want to see it a place, but see it as a place in me that you're journeying. The Bible says, in him we live. He says, in me you live. In me you move. In me you have your being. Penuel is a place in me, a word that I've given you, a word of arrival where the kingdom, the invisible kingdom, becomes visible in the earth. It's found in Genesis 32. It's where Jacob came, the swindler, the deceiver, the liar. Do you know Jacob, before he became Israel, was a very fearful man? He lied. He left Laban and didn't say nothing to him. He ran off with all of Laban's daughters and took off in the middle of the night when Laban was out in the fields, because he was afraid. The reason he was in Penuel in the first place, because his brother was going to come kill him. And he was such a man of fear. He was a liar, a swindler, a stealer. He stole his brother's birthright, him and his mother. This is where Israel came out of. The glory of Israel came out of this man. Him and his mom conceived together. He goes, we're going to put hair on your arms. We're going to make you feel hairy. So your dad's going to be touching you. He wants to touch Esau because it's the blessing. He goes, we're going to make you smell like Esau. We're going to make you look like Esau. We're going to make you feel like Esau. We're going to steal. Jacob goes, okay. Let's steal the birthright. He did it. And he got it. And when Isaac knew what he did, he goes, oh my. And then Esau comes in. He goes, well, what about me? He goes, well, here's some stuff for you too. But he's got it. He's the one. And God went with him. God doesn't judge things the way we do. You know why? Because we would see Jacob and say, oh my God. Is he even going to heaven? See, God was standing in another realm. God was standing in the realm of Penuel and looking at Jacob through the eyes of the word of Penuel. Man will look at you with all your stuff because God calls some very unique people. And most of them don't have it together. I am a testimony to that. So God was looking at him from the eye of Penuel. He saw Israel. You see Jacob, he saw Israel. See, you see the old man, God sees the new. God sees you 300 years from now, 30 years from now, 3 years from now. He sees that perfection and he made you. Right? Well, hitherto, because we didn't know how to walk with God, we had to wait all that long journey to go find that place. It's taken a long time just to get to this level. I'm like, Lord, are we ever going to get based on the kind of transformation we have gotten all these years? He goes, no, you're looking at the wrong place. He goes, why don't we just fast forward in the word? Why don't I give you the word of Penuel right now? Well, I'm not ready for it. It doesn't matter whether you're ready for it. Do you want Penuel? What happened in Penuel? Remember, that's where him and God wrestled. Who was wrestling? Israel was not wrestling with God. The old man was wrestling. It was Jacob that was wrestling. God was trying to wrestle Jacob out of Jacob. And God said, I think God let him go that morning because it says the day broke. See, day is breaking right now. And God said, you're not ready, Jacob. I have to come another season. God was about to walk from him. And all that would have done is Jacob had to walk a whole nother season. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me right here. He understood the blessing. He goes, if you're coming down face to face, whether you're wrestling with me or not, I'm not going to let you go. He didn't know what he was asking for. He just asked for the blessing. But he held on to God while God was in front of him. It was God he was wrestling with, because he said, this is Penuel, I have seen God face to face. And he grabbed a hold of him, and he wouldn't let him go. And suddenly God said, you know what, Jacob? Graduation time. You know what happened? God changed him that day. He took his old man away from him. This is not the born again experience. He was already walking with God. This was a life transformation in the middle of his life, where he took the old man that he could not overcome, took the fearful man out, took the idolater out, took the man, the swindler out, took him out, and he made him Israel that day. And he brought him before his face. And you know what he did? Right there in the break of the morning, he blessed him. And this is exactly what he said. And God, by the way, broke the joint, the hip joint. And I said, God's going to give you a thorn in the flesh so you won't get proud. No, no, no. God's going to break the hip joint of the old man. The one, see, God has the power to break the old man. And he broke his hip joint. Jacob's the old man. You want God to break that man. Trust me. You want him to break him and shatter him to pieces if possible. Because what he's looking is to bring that new man out. And there are times in the life the old man is so contentious that God has to step in and break. Amen? It's painful, but it's necessary. But this happened under a blessing. This is what happens in Penuel. It's a transformation that's coming to a generation. It's a God-ordained transformation that won't be by your might, won't be by your power, won't be by your self-discipline, won't be by, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to quit doing this, quit doing this. It's not going to be like that. God's going to swoop in and whoosh. You remember when you were born again? Stuff you were, there were some things you were delivered from immediately. And other things, well, there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some immediate deliverance. It's like being born again, again. There's a transformation ordained by God. And when it happened, Jacob received the blessing. And look what God said. Immediately took him into his glory. When he renamed him, he didn't rename him where he was. He took him into El Bethel that day. I'll show it to you. This is how the glory works. But I'm telling you this, you can move into the glory by just keeping his word. If you keep his word, he will fast forward you and shift you into a realm you're not ready for. He was going to walk from Jacob. He was going to walk from him. He said, you're not ready yet, Jacob. You're still wrestling with me. Jacob said, yeah, I'm not going to let go of you though. I might be wrestling. My flesh may be wrestling. My old man may be wrestling, but I won't let go. You're not leaving me until you bless me. God said, all right. Let's go ahead and take you into my glory and change your name right here. And he changed his name, but here's what he said. Let me go. He said, I will not leave thee. He said, what is your name? He goes, you know what I am. I'm a swindler. Jacob means swindler. Thief, supplanter, that's Jacob's name. He goes, I'm swindler, thief, and supplanter. He goes, yes, that's who you have been. But we're not dealing with have been anymore. I'm going to launch you into who you are. You want my blessing? I'm about to take you into who, what I've seen in you all along. What I just thought you weren't ready for, but because you held on to me and you wouldn't let go, I'm about to fast forward you. There is a fast forward in God, and all of us are about to encounter it. And this is what he said. He took him into the glory. You're going to have to get it from the Young's literal translation. Carlos will know this one. He said, he saith, thy name is no more called Jacob, but your name is Israel, for thou hast been a prince with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Has been a prince. I'm not going to make you a prince. You have been a prince, because he fast-forwarded him himself. In his own word, he took him in to Israel. And he says, your has been Israel. Look, I don't even identify with that anymore. Your name has been Israel. I don't even see Jacob anymore. Your name has been. Because he launched him. The word will do this. This is what the Lord said. My word will do this if you'll keep it. My word will do it if you'll keep it. The word took him into his future. Brought him back into the now. And after that, he took him to El Bethel. Reaffirmed his name was Israel. Now we're ready to multiply you. Now we're ready to name a nation out of you. Now we're ready to bring a people. And kings are coming out of thee. We're ready to do that. I'm ready to multiply you now. Because I'm not dealing with Jacob anymore. That's what the blessing is. The transformation from LaRue to LaRubabal. And believe me, we all want that. And everybody said, it's a shift. That's the word. And the Lord said, all of this is a word. It's a word that you're in right now. Keep that word. Stand on that word. See that word. Lift up your eyes and see the transformation. Believe you're the generation that will go before the God of Jacob and receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of our salvation. Believe you're the generation to receive the crown. Believe Penuel has been found. Believe in a word. He goes, I am Penuel. He that believeth on me. Just like I am the resurrection, I am your Penuel. Be with me where I am. That's when he said to me that word, if you abide in me, Penuel, where I am. What does that mean? Go to Penuel and see your deliverance. Go to Penuel. It's not Jacob. It's the Jacob in you now. Go to Penuel and see your transformation. Abide in me, Penuel. And then Penuel will get up inside of you. Penuel is the transformation, the arrival of the blessing, the whole thing I just spoke. That's all a word that's not bound by time. It's a word that even if you're not ready, when God's ready to walk away from you and say, you're not ready, you can grab a hold and say, I won't let go whether I'm ready or not. You're going to bless me. It doesn't matter if I'm not ready, because Penuel will get me ready. Because there's a blessing that changes me there. And we all know I need that. I know I need it. You walk with God, you'll come real close to know how much change you need. Because he'll show you. But then Penuel will lock me in. I won't let go till you do this. I won't let go till this word transforms me, that draws me and sucks everything in like a vacuum. See, the Lord's telling me, he goes, if you abide in me, Penuel, I'm closing with this, then Penuel will abide in you. And if a Penuel abides in you, and you will let the devil steal it, which he will come quite often. Man, is he challenged this word. You know why he challenges it? Because this is where the kingdom becomes visible. This is where Emmanuel comes down and stand with us here. This is where the King of Glory opens our eyes and he's standing with us. It's where everything starts happening in the earth now. It's Emmanuel. It's the visible word. Penuel is the shift from the invisible to the visible. That's where it shifts right there. It's the word being made flesh. It's the promise manifesting. That's Penuel. It's the first manifestation of the promise of the invisible realm to the visible earth. See, if that word abides in you and you don't let me go, I am Penuel. He goes, then you can ask what you will concerning Penuel. You see that? And Penuel will be done for you. Whether you like it or the devil likes it or you don't like it and the devil doesn't like it, it doesn't matter whether you're ready or you're not ready. Penuel will happen to you if you'll keep it. The word. It's not a place. It's a word. It's a shift. Everyone stand up for a minute. Thank you, Father, for your glory. Today I'm going to do this, Father. We come and stand upon your word today. We come up and lift up our eyes. We lift up our eyes. We lift up today, standing for your glory and standing before your grace. Today we grab a hold of you, the King of glory, Christ, our Penuel deliverance, our Penuel transformation, our Penuel ordination, our Penuel commission, our Penuel great exchange, the renaming, the new identity. We grab a hold of you today, and with a solemn oath of our heart, it matters not if we're ready or not ready. We will not let go of you. We will not let go till you bless us with this glorious generational transformation, generational inheritance, generational glory, the blessing of the final crowning stone coming down to be with us as Emmanuel. The blessing of the transformational righteousness. They will take all of Jacob out of us and put Israel into us. Everyone say, I will not let go. As a body, we will not let go. Corporately, we will not let go. Amen. Hear me on this. That word has the power. That word has the power to suck us up into the future. That word has the power to move us where we could not move us. That word has the power to do things we can't do. We don't even have the kind of tools to do that with. That word has the power to move us into a dimension that men said you're not ready for. That you may not be ready for. Even God might even say, you're not ready for. But it didn't matter. If you don't let go, he'll just pull us right on over. And the Lord said, if you'll hold my word will pull you into the future. It's a future word for so many of us. But if we hold on, this earth will have to let go. And the devil knows it. That's why he'll challenge it to get you let go of it. He'll get you to hate somebody just for the fact to get that word out of you. I don't know why I don't like you. I just don't like you. He'll stir all kinds of things up around you because he wants to let go. Because he knows if you don't let go, God's going to pull all of earth around you and suck you up into the inheritance of Psalms 24. We're the generation sitting on the inheritance of a glorified body of Christ walking in the earth, the manifested sons of God. Everyone said, I will not let go.